Hello everybody and welcome to Wikipedia Wanderers. In this episode, Josh, it's not for the squeamish, we're talking injuries. Injuries in football. Yeah, I mean, injuries have a broad range, don't they? From your favourite, a stubbed toe,
yeah,
to dislocations, breaks, pops.
Pops? Oh no,
yeah,
don't you?
I know.
Is that your word for parts?
That's a Trump, mate.
Oh, yeah.
Trump.
You're Trump.
That's become popular again since Donald Trump.
Yeah. We're a Trump family.
Oh, yeah, you're a Trump family.
Yeah.
You love the rednecks and guns.
Yeah, MAGA.
Right. Injuries, Josh. I'm going straight in. What's the worst injury you've ever seen in football? We're talking muscular. We're talking...
Oh, muscular. Okay. So, injury inflicted. I'm talking not actually caused by a player, but the ball. I'm talking Alan Smith charging down John Arnorisa's free kick, and it all ends up twisted in the wrong direction.
Yeah, it was like a broken
leg
with a
dislocated.
Was it ever calculated how hard John Arnorisa hit that ball?
Too hard. Is that, that's
too,
what I'd say.
Too hard. You're gonna hit too
if you're breaking
hard.
Someone's leg, kick it softer.
Would you imagine a leg is stronger than, like, a wrist? I'm thinking if a keeper saved it.
Yeah.
So is that breaking a wrist? That's breaking...
I think it would have broken because of how he's contorted and it twists, and there's probably the ground involved as well and the speed. He's running towards it. And so we'll know just from science, physics there, that is going to increase the impact.
It is. Good knowledge of science, Josh. I like that, yeah. So that's the worst... You're saying that's the worst you've seen, like, watching football?
Yeah, without a player involved. With a player involved, I'd say Erling Haaland.
Yeah, okay. I was just going to interrupt you, because my thing that first comes to mind for my worst injury scene is no other player involved, weirdly.
Jabril Cissé?
No, see, that's another one. But I'm going Michael Owen with the knee pop against Sweden, where you literally physically see the kneecap and the ligament go... If Kelvin Brown's listening to this, he's going to hate this episode, by the way. He is the most squeamish person I've ever met.
I mean, I'm pretty squeamish, but for some reason, things like this don't... isn't on my squeamish... high on my squeamish barometer. Yeah, I'd say actually the worst thing I've seen in a football pick is more of it. I feel like it was intentional. If you remember this, Ben Thatcher versus Pedro Mendes just goes and he's on the byline. They're running, like chasing a ball, and they come together. And Ben Thatcher leads with, like, really up high, his elbow, and just wipes it straight into the side of Pedro Mendes' side of his head, and is out unconscious. And Ben Thatcher just falls off, like, yeah. Sorted that one out. It's like, no, you're a bastard.
He was like out cold as he was going to the ground, wasn't he, Pedro Mendes? Yeah, that was horrible.
And that's
kind
of thing. I don't know what the commentary is afterwards from the managers, but there's no way the manager can go, he's not that type of player, because Ben Thatcher would have been that type of player.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we talk about worst injuries then. So most blood. Can you remember an injury where you've seen them? Like, you know, because the thing is... headbands on.
That's what I was trying to think of. I was trying to think of players I've seen in headbands.
Yeah, Martin Keown.
Martin Keown's your first go-to?
Well, no, obviously the first go-to is Terry Butcher.
Yes, that's
correct. But I didn't see that.
I wonder what non-English people think of, because that's very much an England player. But they must have their own ones. But that is very much the English fan memory of headbandage and blood, I'd say. Paul Ince as well, I think, fits the bill.
He had a lot of headbands, yeah. He had a lot of head bandages on. Mm-hmm. But I was like, so Terry Butcher, I didn't really count because I didn't see it.
No, I've just seen the photos of a very red blood bandage, which was not doing its job. Probably because he still nutted the ball, regardless of what
it was. The 80s, mate. It was nutting everything. Yeah.
So other players I can remember with head bandages, a few and far between. I think obviously head injuries has got a lot better in terms of management. So I don't think it's perfect, but it's got a lot better in sport. So I don't think there's too many these days, especially as they've clamped down on elbowing in faces. That's frowned upon now, I'd say. Two players I can remember who actually wore bandages are also two players who I'd say had some loose elbows flying around. Alan Shearer, Marouane Fellaini are two players I can remember wearing head bandages.
I can remember. I can picture Fellaini's one. Yeah, I can picture because it looks stupid.
Yeah, his hair. It's got to be loads of hair above and below. It's kind of
I just, I do love a headband. I want to see more of them though. But what you get now is that you get like a bit of, you get a bit of Vaseline put on it, don't you? And then they just put the, they put the bandage on like over some, the Vaseline.
It's a bit of a hairnet type thing situation where it kind of like it's kind of like a mesh they put over.
Oh bloody hell! I think that would suit you.
Never wear a headbandage.
Oh, do you know what? With all my injuries, I don't think I've ever worn a headbandage. That's coming up on Saturday at football. No, I don't think I have. I don't think I've ever worn it. I've worn a headband, an Alice band, but I've never.
I'd say it's less likely now because I imagine a number of those players with a headbandage were playing with concussion.
So very true.
They should not have been on the pitch, and hopefully now they will not be on the pitch and be taking due care.
Very true, yeah, very true. It sort of leads me in to my next question. Best comeback a player has had from a serious injury? And the only reason I say it leads me in because it suddenly made me think of Petr Cech.
That was top of my list.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, top of my list because that's probably the most notable. So he suffered a skull fracture. Stephen Hunt, I want to say.
Yeah.
Reading.
Stephen Hunt? It was Reading. Was it Stephen Hunt? Or was it... Ooh, get on Wikipedia. It'll be on Petr Cech's page.
Brother of Aaron Hunt.
There was loads of Hunts. There was Stephen. There was Aaron.
Keep going.
There was Richard.
Richard Hunt?
Yeah, Richard Hunt.
Dick Hunt?
Dick Hunt. He played
Wikipedia that guy, because I don't think that guy exists.
I'll get Richard Hunt.
Oh, hold on. Noel. It was actually Stephen Hunt, brother of Noel Hunt. Did I say Aaron? Who's Aaron Hunt?
Yeah, you said Aaron. Okay, there's lots of Richard Hunts that play American football, which is disrupting my search a little bit. So,
it was Stephen Hunt on Petr Cech,
Okay.
I mean, actually, Rooney must have had something, because Rooney had to wear like a headband for a while, didn't he? Like a kind of custom made kind of big old,
he did
kind of not a skull cap without the skull section.
Yeah, he did actually, that's true. Yeah, there's no Richard Hunt that played association football. As a quick Google search, so made that one up. I think Petr Cech is obviously one of the big ones, but obviously Raul Jimenez had a similar thing, didn't he?
Yeah,
fractured skull, back playing.
Yeah,
I think the only difference I'd say there is I think Petr Cech reached the heights, or very close to the heights, pre-injury. Raul Jimenez has always looked a little bit off.
Yeah, still Premier League footballer, but yeah, he definitely is. The mental side of things will be such an impact. Yeah, because Raul Jimenez still wear his head guard?
Yeah, he still wears it. Pretty sure he wears it. So, I mean, you're talking, like you said there, like coming back from an injury. Luke Shaw obviously had leg fractures.
Luke Shaw and Ruud van Nistelrooy, I'd say. Yeah, Luke Shaw was an amazing player. So Ruud van Nistelrooy, obviously, he scuppered his move to Manchester United. Did his cruise ship, but then signed like a year later.
Yeah, got that recovered. It's an interesting... Injuries are an interesting... Do you think there's a... Obviously, there's a mental fortitude about how you react to it. Mm. Do you think... Because I just assume every Premier League player, when they get injured, their attitude is, I'm going to come back faster, stronger, fitter. I'm going to prove I can still do it. But do you reckon that's the case? Do you reckon they all think like that? Or do you think a lot of them...
And you know, some are lucky enough to never even been put in that situation. You can look at like, the likes of Messi and Ronaldo for the majority of their career. They really haven't had to have that mental fortitude because injuries haven't been part of their career. But I'd say yes, but I think it probably depends on the injury and how it happened. So like hamstring injuries, and if it keeps recurring, do you kind of second guess yourself about going to a full sprint? Impact injury, how strong are you in the challenge? If it's an elbow, are you going up for those headers? I think it's probably the scenario that happens that will then test the player and what situation they're willing to put themselves in. Are they willing to go 100% in all those situations?
Yeah. Okay, it's interesting. You're saying hamstrings, it just made me think of Michael Owen. He completely had to change his game, didn't he? Was that a hamstring that went
in
his thigh? Was it a hamstring?
I think it was a hamstring, and he complains in retrospect around how he was treated during surgery, doesn't he? And he thinks of a surgeon kind of botched it.
Yeah.
But, we'll probably touch on him a bit later, I think, Michael Owen.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. I don't know if it's the same question that you're about to answer, but with Michael Owen, but worst injury prone player you've ever seen?
No, it wasn't actually going to be him. He obviously did have that side of things, but I would say, I'm going to name some names here. Abu Diaby.
Yes.
Agreed. Really good player, although wore a very bad shirt number. Wasn't he like number two?
I think he was, but he did fill in at right back occasionally.
I think he was a very fluid, central midfielder. He was a very good player. Jack Wilshere, he led to retirement early. Daniel Sturridge. Daniel Sturridge had like a really good Premier League season when he would have been with like Luis Suarez, didn't he?
Yes.
Daniel Sturridge. Daniel Andre Sturridge. Now only 34 now.
Yeah.
So yeah,
is he retired?
Yeah,
he
does work on Sky Sports now as a pundit.
Oh right.
Last team he played for?
I want to say it was Turkey, but I think he went somewhere after Turkey, and I want to say like Australia.
Oh, you keep talking to me, Dave. Keep talking.
Let's go Perth Glory.
Oh my goodness!
Is it?
Yeah.
Boom.
Lovely. So, can you name his permanent clubs in his career? Actually, can you name all of his clubs, please?
Was it Man City?
Yes.
Or was it Man City?
Then that. Moved to.
Yeah. Talking of injuries, I've just made myself bleed live on the podcast. So, like, I was surprised when you said worst injury prone player you've ever seen, you didn't name me, to be honest. True. So, yeah. Daniel Sturridge's clubs as I try and stem the bleeding on my elbow.
Yeah, this is
faint. Right, Man City obviously played for Liverpool.
I went in the right order.
Oh, you're in the order?
Yeah.
Oh, for God's sake. Was it Chelsea?
Yes. So, Man City, permanent to Chelsea. Chelsea loan spell to.
Leicester?
No, 8 goals in 12 league games. Really good spell for him.
Oh, wow. Who was that? No, I don't remember that one.
Bolton Wanderers.
Yeah, no.
You don't remember that? Okay.
No, don't remember that at all. Then Liverpool got him off Chelsea.
Yep. Then he has, at the tail end, he has a loan spell here, which isn't very memorable. Into the Midlands again, because he's a Midlands boy, isn't he, I think? Yeah.
I mean, Villa, Birmingham, Wolves.
West Brom.
Well, okay.
And then it's into your warehouse now. You've already mentioned it was Turkey, then Perth Glory. So which Turkish side was it?
I think it was Başakşehir.
Nah, Trabzonspor.
And I question myself.
Yeah, but you look there, you go 13-14 season, 21 Premier League goals and 29 appearances.
Wow.
That's better than Michael Owen's Premier League goal scoring in a season. I don't think Michael Owen ever got into 20 goals.
Wow.
Which is...
That's... Both of those facts surprise me.
Yeah, and I think that's why... I don't know, the complete shape of goal scoring has completely changed now. It feels like...
Yeah.
It's just... Like Harry Kane scores... Like, consistently scoring goals after goals after goals. And then Ronaldo's and the Messi's just getting better than a goal a game. Yeah, but... Yeah, Michael Owen never broke into the 20 goals in the Premier League season.
Wow, that's really interesting. Okay, so back to the question, because you're listing your injury-prone players.
To a degree, Gareth Bale would get going and then have niggles, and there's always kind of muscular injuries at Real Madrid. Kieran Dyer sprung to mind.
Yes.
Really enjoyed Kieran Dyer as a player. A very unusual player, I'd say. Liked to play centrally, didn't play... So, as a quick, shorter player, you'd have thought he'd have been a right winger, or kind of like Michael Owen, when they were playing to up top, but he didn't. He was kind of like attacking midfielder, and would just kind of burst through the middle with pace, and I really enjoyed that style of play. But yeah, he really suffered, and probably retired early as well.
Kieran Dyer's a strange one, because I sort of remember him as a right winger. And I don't know if that's because that's wherever I signed him on Football Manager or Champ Manager back then, I would have played him at right wing, but... Yeah, Darren Anderton, I thought would have got a mention.
Darren Anderton, yeah, just a little bit before my time. I knew of him as sick note, but I don't... It wasn't the kind of week-in, week-out following of Spurs where I think, oh, yeah, he's missing again. I took note of the team sheet and stuff. It was...
Yeah.
But, yeah, spoke of as very injury-prone. Owen Hargreaves.
Oh, yeah, definitely Owen Hargreaves, yeah. Knee problems.
Wasn't Owen Hargreaves the one who had... Or was it Michael Owen? Maybe both. I'd... done their own promotional video to show how fit they were ready for the new season.
Yes, it's but well, sort of both. So Michael Owen did a, like a, I was going to call it a journal, but it's not.
Portfolio?
Like Portfolio. He did a portfolio of his career and what he's done and his rehabilitation. And Owen Hargreaves put videos on YouTube proving he was fit to send out to clubs so that clubs could view them. Him doing drills and training and PT and stuff like that. So, yeah, I don't think either were very good, like, as in those adverts.
No, and I think they're kidding themselves because there's definitely a difference of being able to train and be in the gym than, yeah, as soon as they get on the pitch, it'll be like 2 minutes later. Picked up an injury because, you know, it's very different on the pitch. Any of this bring to mind for injury proneness?
To be fair, I think you've got most of the ones I was going to say. Abu Diaby was on my list because he's just, I think he was quite an elegant player. He was good on the ball, did a really good job.
All of the ones I've mentioned have retired. Is there anyone we think is currently playing who's off and out injured?
There probably is, but I've got nothing immediately springing to my mind. Oh, Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Oh, Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Because he's really good as well. He's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. For the last 2-3 seasons, yeah.
Yeah, and even when he doesn't get injured, like muscular or bonage, it's a punch to the face like he got last week when we're recording at the moment. Last week got punched in the face and looked like he'd been in the ring with Mike Tyson or Tyson Fury. So, yeah.
Yeah,
interesting. Interesting that. So going with injury-prone players or something like that, I mean, who's a player that you've seen get injured and then was just never the same sort of after it? Maybe it was a bit, like you were saying, they were a bit shy of going back into a tackle or they weren't committed to headers and things like that.
So this one was Michael Owen. It wasn't, oh, okay. I think it was mental. I think it was just actually his physical ability to do what he could do before. So he was absolutely rapid and was just always running in behind and got away from players. He could not do that at all. Like, even in his, he had one season at Real Madrid where it kind of worked, but then he came to, from Newcastle onwards, it was just, it's such a, I mean, if you look at his career, it's going to be so short-lived. His time post-20, I'd say. So, yeah, so he scores 163 goals, 118 of those are 96 to 2004, so 25 when he leaves Liverpool. So amazingly, he has 7 seasons at Liverpool. Yeah. So he goes 18, 18, 11, 16, 19, 19, 16 goals. One season at Real Madrid, 13 goals, and then we're just into Newcastle. 4 seasons at Newcastle, scores 26 goals and 71 appearances. Yeah. 3 seasons at United, 5 goals in 31 appearances, and a season at Stoke, 1 goal and 8. Do you remember all of his 5 goals for Man United, do you reckon?
No. Remember? Man United v Man City, that we spoke about. Yeah. I think last week we spoke about that, didn't we? And then, oh my word, Villa. I think he scored against Villa. But again, I might be getting that mixed up with someone else. I don't really remember his goals, no.
No. It's all happened so early, but yeah, that's one which really strikes me as a shame that you didn't get to see the Michael Owen.
It's interesting. I'd say other than potentially Abu Diaby, every player that we've talked about is, and Petr Cech, obviously, is more attacking. Do you think attackers not suffer injuries more, but suffer the repercussions of an injury more? Because defenders generally have that bravery around about them. They just, like, I'm thinking of centre-backs that have got a big injury and then they just come back and they sort of win that first header and that's it, or they block that first shot and that's it.
I think so. You think of their interactions with the ball, it's different, isn't it?
Yeah.
So a defender, yeah, there might be blocks, there might be headers, there might be interceptions, but the attacking player has to manipulate the ball, so therefore probably needs a bit more dexterity. Like, think of a player now that Brighton have just signed, Ansu Fati. He's had a few serious injuries already and he's only kind of 20. And the rumours are that he's lost his explosiveness and also the change direction and dribbling ability that he once had. Whereas you think of a centre-back, say, you can very much mask that. There's definitely a kind of, I remember seeing with Jonathan Woodgate, his mobility had gone, he's quite wooden, but you could definitely be effective in a system.
Yeah, okay. Because, I mean, an injury-prone player that I forgot about, who I've just thought about because it's talking about centre-backs and defenders, Phil Jones. He was an amazing footballer.
Yeah.
And injuries just got the better of him, and then he obviously got mocked for his gurney face. But
also remember him in a head bandage.
Yes, I do remember him in a head bandage, yeah. I do remember him. But his appearances just completely dropped off the radar after we signed him from Blackburn. I think he had 1 year next to Chris Smalling at the back, where they were basically ever present, and then he didn't really feature. Just trying to look at his career here. So 12 years at Man United, 169 appearances. That's not very many in 12 years.
No.
Appearances, yeah, here we go. So 29 in his first season for United, 17, 26, 22, 10, 18, 23, 18, 2-0, 4-0.
Crikey.
Yeah.
Just thinking of mentioning Man United players, Paul Pogba would probably classify as injury prone as a current player.
Yeah, I can see that one.
I mean, that. Whether they're real injuries or not, Neymar has missed half of his games when he was at PSG, so I think that probably includes it. Yeah, just think about Thiago at Liverpool. Such a majestic player, so amazing, but I presume a lot of his injuries, I see him out the side quite a bit, and it seems like little muscular injuries.
Yeah. So who have you been sort of most gutted about, whether it be Spurs or maybe England or just a really good football that you liked, about not coming back fully from an injury?
So obviously I'll get it out of the way, Ledley King will be my choice of, you know, impacted by injuries, could never fully deliver. But in terms of, he had a long career after injuries, but and really adapted well, but pre-injury, post-injury are very different players and less effective after. But the Ronaldo, I'd say.
Yeah, okay. Phenomenal.
Yes, I'd say that just the pace and power and the ability beforehand, and he was just a lot different. He bulked up afterwards and had a bit of burst of pace, and, you know, helpfully played around a lot, you know, really great players at Real Madrid, but wasn't quite the same.
Yeah, he's an interesting one as well, because his first bad injury was the knee injury, right? He ruptured his Achilles in his knee, I think, was it his Achilles in his knee? He did something like that. And then that seemed to trigger lots of other little injuries going forward throughout his career, to the point where he swallowed his tongue, wasn't it, before the World Cup was real.
That was probably mental side of things, and the stress and strain and the pressure put upon him by the nation, I think, there probably got to him. But yeah, his knee injury after that came back, and it within 45 minutes of his comeback, the knee had, I think the phrase, exploded. But then you do find that the knock-on impact of injuries can affect other things. You might run in a certain different way and therefore put strain on another part of the body. I remember there was a certain doctor at AC Milan, I can't remember his name, and kind of had these different techniques, but he recommended David Beckham to put newspaper in his boots.
Right.
And to just to help balance him out in terms of how he was running, to help his injuries. And actually, just talking about how the running style, I remember it was Jordan Henderson wasn't signed by Manchester United with Sir Alex because he didn't like his gait. Yeah, his running style. Yeah.
His running gait, yeah. Interesting. I wonder how Jordan Henderson would have worked out at Man United.
I'd say similar to, looking at the United side in parallel with the Liverpool side, probably not as well, I would have thought.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'd agree with you. I mean, it does lead me on to a question I've not actually posted, but for us to think about in advance. But there's got to be an answer that I imagine you saying. Weirdest thing you've heard to help recover from an injury, or to help an injury, or like stories that you can remember?
I think there's a couple here. One is horse placenta being involved.
Oh, okay.
And the other, isn't the other Felix Magath with, like...
That's the, yeah. Cheese.
Cheese, yeah.
With the really tall centre-back. No, it's not Haaland, but it's Bjorn...
No, Breda...
Breda Hangeland.
Yes.
Yeah, where he was told to rub cheese onto his damaged knee or his hamstring or something, yeah. Because it made.
Yeah,
it
that's really testing your faith in the manager at that point, isn't it?
Yeah, I think he got sacked quite soon after that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. So, Kevin De Bruyne is now injury prone.
I think he's now injury prone. I think, yeah, he's deceptively old. So he's like 32, 33. I think he's reaching that point in his career where he's going to be picking up injuries and he's going to be used sparingly. And so you can see it, Man City have delved into market for two centre mids already this season. But yeah, neither of them at Kevin De Bruyne's level. But yeah, Radamel Falcao is one that springs to mind.
Had a
really good season. So with Porto. Was it with Porto, then with Monaco?
Yeah, Porto, Monaco, and then we loaned him from Monaco.
No, Porto, Atletico Madrid.
Oh.
Then he suffered his injury. Porto, Atletico Madrid, Monaco.
Right.
Injured at Monaco, playing Farmers League, League One, still managed to score some goals, but then, yeah, you loan him. I think Chelsea loaned him.
Yeah, we loaned him, it was awful, and then Chelsea loaned him, yeah, and it was awful.
Yeah. About that, yeah. And I think still playing.
No, is he?
So look, he is still playing. He is at Rayo Vallecano.
Oh, once home to Menucho.
Was it?
Oh, no, it wasn't. That was Real Valladolid.
Yes.
Vallecano was Bebe, I think.
Was or is?
Oh, is he still there?
Wow, so Vallecano has two former United forwards as front awesome. Line. Wonder if they partner each other. I'm trying to think to see if they have any other players I can recognise. No. Fascinating. Sorry, one really rogue one. I don't know, this may not strike anyone's memory here. Stuart Holden. Remember Stuart Holden?
From Wimbledon? No, Bolton.
Bolton, yeah. American centre mid for Bolton. I remember he had was playing and he was scoring a few goals from centre mid, bursting forward, and I thought, oh, you look, you know, a good player, and then suffered a knee injury and just was never the same. I don't quite know why he sticks in my mind. I think it's a bit of there's a bit of social media presence by him as well, but yeah, I enjoyed him as a player. I thought, yeah, that's a nice tidy player that Bolton have got there, and it all just went a bit sideways.
Yeah. Oh no, interesting. I hadn't thought about him at all until you said the name, and I was like, I know that, I recognise. I think blonde hair.
Kind of a bit spiked, yeah. And not big in stature, but really kind of very much in that kind of what I think of as American, like almost American high school sports star, kind of just really fit and runs and, you know, technically able, nothing flashy, but he'd been taught the basics really well and just does it nicely.
Yeah, nice. I guess one final question from me then. We've touched on one goalkeeper, which is Petr Cech, which was a massive injury, a huge injury for Petr Cech. Can you think of an injury-prone goalkeeper that's like when they performed really well, but they didn't play enough because they're injury-prone? Because like Hugo Lloris used to pick up quite a lot of injuries, but then he sort of got over it.
Yeah, and it's, I think they obviously put themselves in harm's way a bit. I think sometimes it's really kind of weird injuries. Like Manuel Neuer probably springs to mind as injury prone. Over the last few years, he's really struggled to come back from injuries. Maybe that probably comes with age at that point, I think.
That's the thing. I'm trying to think of a goalkeeper that's been in their sort of prime, but they haven't played enough because of they kept getting niggling injuries or something. But maybe it's because they don't do as many high impact sprints or high intensity sprints and things like that, and they don't have to go chasing the ball down.
Do you know what player sprung to mind? And maybe you never think he was going to be that good, but Chris Kirkland.
He was injured a lot.
I think he had some problems with his wrists, I think it was.
Yeah.
And yeah, I remember I remember something along the lines of his granddad put a bet on him when he was younger to make an England appearance and won a bit of money. But yeah, he was the goalkeeper who actually when Spurs beat Wigan 9-1.
Oh,
sure.
You mean it was Christopher Edmund Kirkland?
Edmund
is his name.
Is he still playing?
He is not. He finished his career with a team that no longer exists.
Bury.
Yeah, Bury. How many clubs do you think you can name that Chris Kirkland played for? So you said Wigan, obviously.
I'm going to go for three more.
Okay, do you want to try in order of appearance or do you just want to name them? I don't mind, it's up to you.
Just name them. So Liverpool's in there.
Liverpool.
Wigan's in there.
Yeah, I've already given you Wigan, that's two. Okay. Yeah.
I want to say Sheffield Wednesday.
Sheffield Wednesday? His second most appearances were for Sheffield Wednesday.
any more Premier League clubs?
Yes, but I don't know if they were Premier. Either of them were Premier. Three of them, but I don't know if they were Premier League at the time.
West Brom.
West Brom, 2005-2006 loan move from Liverpool.
Hull.
No, not Hull.
Hmm. What else you got?
Coventry City is who Liverpool signed him from. That's where he started his career.
Oh, I see.
And then you've got, so it's Coventry City, 24 appearances in 3 years. Liverpool, 25 appearances in 5 years. Loan to West Brom for a year, 10 appearances. Loan to Wigan, 9 appearances. They then bought him, 4 years at Wigan, 122 appearances. A loan move to Leicester, where he played 3 times. A loan move to Doncaster, where he played once. Permanent transfer to Sheffield Wednesday, 85 appearances. Permanent transfer to Preston North End, 5 appearances. And then finished his career at Bury, just in the squad, no appearances.
Just there for vibes. Martin Scott Carson.
And one cap for England, which I'm pretty sure does have in here. About his, or his international career. Yes, when Kirkland was 11 years old, his father and some family friends had placed bets of £100 each at 100-1 odds that he would play for England before the age of 30. Kirkland's appearance netted the group £10,000 each.
Nice.
There you go. Yeah.
How bad is it?
Just an interesting one. I didn't know this. In July 2022, Chris Kirkland opened up about his painkiller addiction. So I just can't remember hearing anything about that.
No.
Yeah, interesting. He's had a few. He's got one managerial career role, which is quite interesting. Yeah, Liverpool Women.
Oh.
Caretaker of the Liverpool Women team in 2018. And he's currently going on. Where did I just read this? Head goalkeeping coach at Köln, which isn't
that,
the German team.
No, that is within a stone's throw of where my wife is from, up in Lancashire. C-O-L-N-E, yeah.
It is, yeah. So that's where he's head goalkeeping coach at the moment. So
it's funny,
they got relegated last year from the Northern Premier League. That's all the questions I had for you, Josh. Have you got a special secret one?
I've got a question for you around injuries, yeah. Do you think we're now at the point, probably in the top tier of football, where injuries no longer end a career before it's in its prime?
I think I'm struggling to think of an injury that would completely stop a footballer playing. Given what we've seen with fractured skulls, you know, we didn't want to touch on it too much, but what happened to Christian Eriksen at the World Cup, I can't think of an injury that a player could sustain that would rule them out if they're in their prime and they are a good fit athlete and it's not requiring a loss of a limb, for example, and I don't know what sort of football injury would require that. But yeah, I feel like I do think sports science and medical recovery and stuff like that, they should be able to get back playing to football. Now, whether they can get back to the level of when the injury occurred is another question. But I think a Premier League footballer that picks up an injury when they're in their prime would easily be able to then go and play in the Championship once they've recovered. Like, I don't think it's even going to be a drop-off to, like, League One or League Two.
No, I think that the drop-off should hopefully be mitigated as well now. But the you know, crudely, these become valuable assets for clubs now. So it's within their interest to make sure that the medical treatment they're getting is first rate. You see players flown to different areas. I mean, it was even Paul Mullin, wasn't it? From Wrexham, was flown for his recovery to the US. And that's at, you know, League Two level. Weren't even a League Two club at that point. It was during this summer. So there's definitely they're happy to, you know, fly around the world to get the best treatment and to make sure the recovery. It's just always the battle between that recovery time, isn't it? And, you know, how valuable that player is. And you often hear about it still in terms of players still playing through injury during a season. So, Heung-min Son, for example, last season was playing with a hernia. And, you know, Kieran Trippier.
Marcus Rashford with a fractured back.
Yeah, and it's that's a bit where I think it still needs a bit of work, really, because I don't know, they have medical people ascertaining the risk, but the player, much like with the concussion substitutions and the treatment there, the player isn't the best person to involve at that point. Now, they'll obviously want to play because they've got to that point in their career because become professional because they have that drive to succeed and play. And so I think that's probably the next step, is just making sure they're not returning, they're not playing through injury, not, you know, taking the painkillers to suppress that injury. Yeah,
it is something where I think rugby seems to have it right. Rugby seems to depend much more on the medical professional's opinion rather than what the player wants. Like, if the medical professional says they've got to come off, then they've got to come off. If the medical professional says they're not fit, then they're not fit to play. Whereas I feel like football, because maybe it is the money involved and the club want to get the most out of the assets, as you say, that they've got, that it's sort of like, well, where he thinks he can play, so let's chuck him on, and if he lasts 90 minutes, then it's a bonus, isn't it? He's done it. So, yeah, no, it's interesting. It's interesting. But no, to answer your question, I don't think there is an injury now that is unrecoverable for an athlete in their prime playing in Premier League football, for example. So, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Cool. Yeah, good question. Right, well, that brings an end to this episode about the squeamish injuries that we've seen and witnessed in football and players that have been affected by it. But I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you very much for listening. If you're interested in following us on Instagram, you can find us at Wikipedia Wanderers. Check us out there, and on X as well, what's formerly known as Twitter. Yeah, everywhere has to put it in brackets as well. X, formerly known as Twitter. So I thought I'd say it. But thank you very much for listening. We'll catch you next week. Cheers.